Inflation is rising and gold is a good hedge. Gold should be part of every wise investor's portfolio. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust. Call them at 866-915-3292. That's 866-915-3292. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Entertaining and informative. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on the air. 77 WABC. He's always mistakenly British.
Tea and crumpets. Cheerio.
But he's really a Canuck. Known on all seven continents.
Oh, I know who you are.
America's undocumented anchorman. He's a recording star and a TV star. Tuesdays, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Mark Stein.
And here he is, the world traveler. And by the way, do you find it odd that Mark rejoins us the day after this big hubbub over there in Great Britain, the memorial for, Philip? But he's back, and we are so glad to have him back. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be back with you, James.
Mark, you were over there. You went there. You actually went there. Tell us why. Tell us what you saw. Tell us what you reported there, please.
Well, I'm not a war reporter or anything like a war reporter, but I do find it helps when the powder keg goes up at some pinprick on the map somewhere, that it helps to go there and actually take a look at it. And Ukraine was somewhere I visited, you know, some years ago in much better times. And I figured it would be interesting to see what it was like now, just in case. And I felt the time was running out, too, because it was slightly before. It was still when it looked as if Putin would manage to steamroll the country eventually. But I think there's a difference as well. I like Ukrainians. And there's Ukraine has been cursed by the fact that too many powerful Americans got interested in it, starting with the Bidens and the Clintons and John Kerry's son and all the rest of it, all the rest of those guys. But you have to be able to distinguish between Ukraine, the Washington money laundering machine, and Ukraine, the actual country where people live. So that was the reason I did. Actually, just getting into the country reminded me of how the future is going to be, because I flew into Budapest and I took a rental car and I came to the border post in eastern Hungary for Ukraine, and the rental car just died as I hit the Ukrainian border. The GPS had seen that I was about to enter Ukraine and switched the car off. And I laughed and wound up walking into Ukraine, which was actually rather enjoyable. And I met various people on the way and things. It was a fun way to enter a war zone. But the interesting thing was, I thought, yeah, that's our future too. You know, when the whole thing collapses here, and you jump in your Toyota Corolla and load it up with as much stuff as you can get in there and try to flee, the Toyota Corolla will die at the border too, because if the rental car company can switch off the car, the government can switch off your car too. So I found that an interesting experience all by itself.
Okay, so you arrive in Ukraine. You were talking to the people there. What is if you can describe a mood or moods? What did you encounter with the everyday Ukrainian people that you spoke with?
Well, they love their country, and it was interesting to me because it was just a couple of days after a poll. I forget Gallup or whoever saying that a majority of American Democrats wouldn't fight for their country or whatever it was. All these guys are absolutely all the people I talked to were, with the exception of one rather fatalistic Armenian, but all the Ukrainians were just hot to push back, and they weren't going to be re-enslaved by the Russians ever again. I found that very interesting. I spoke to a woman who crosses the border regularly to go and collect medical supplies for troops in eastern Ukraine. She sent her son out of the country, But she, and every time she crosses that border, she could stay. She doesn't have to go back into the war zone. She doesn't have to try and get medical supplies to troops in eastern Ukraine. But she feels, as she told her son, she's got to stay there and fight for her country. And as I said, I'm one who is on board with, I mean, this idea that Hunter Biden is lobbying for bio labs in Ukraine. I was actually trying to get to the one in Odessa. I didn't quite make it, so I may have to go back. But this idea that, you know, there's an insanity about Ukraine in Washington. Ukraine's responsible for two impeachments. Ukraine's responsible for Lindsey Graham being inducted into the Order of Prince Yaroslav the Wise, which must have Prince Yaroslav rotating in his grave. Ukraine is responsible for these incredible bio labs where for some reason, the U.S. government thought, I know, that COVID thing worked out so well for us with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Where else can we invest in gain-of-function research? I know. How about on Vladimir Putin's doorstep? I agree with all that, but you have to distinguish between Ukraine, which exists as a sort of almost like a mythical kingdom for Washington monkey business, and then the actual country where people who just want to live Western lives and get on with their lives and don't want to go back into Putin's state where they actually live. There's really two Ukraines, I would say.
Okay, I'll just focus for a minute on these bio labs. Tulsi Gabbard came out and made a few statements about the bio labs there, and immediately she was held out to dry. She was ridiculed by some of the establishment figures, branded that she was lying, or it was said that she was lying. And, of course, then came proof that there were bio labs in Ukraine. What is really going on there? It disappeared, by the way, from the headlines after that.
Well, there's a lot of people who still think if you mention it, it's misinformation. But it isn't misinformation. Essentially, and this is going back, you know, 10, 15 years, there were bio labs in Ukraine just as a result of it being in the Soviet Union for decades. And so initially the explanation is, oh, well, the Americans are just there because they're helping the Ukrainians secure these labs. And you think, oh, yes, that's very nice of them. But no, they're not. They're actually opening new labs where they're doing research into some of the most deadly pathogens. I mean, and when I say deadly, I mean some of these pathogens that have a 50% kill rate. So it's a bit like, you know, Wuhan seemed to me like offshoring. That Fauci and EcoHealth Alliance and these guys were experimenting with coronaviruses in Wuhan, which has the security protocols of the average American dentist's room, because they didn't want to do it in Idaho or in Connecticut because people would notice it there. So they do it in Wuhan because you can get on with it and nobody knows about it. And something of the same thing applied in Ukraine with these bio labs. So it's a bit like rendition. You know, when we used to hear about it from in the days when everybody hated Bush and Cheney and they'd be going on about rendition. You know, so you outsource the torture. You say to the Pakistanis, well, we'd like to borrow one of your dungeons because we picked up this guy and we don't want to take him to America and have to read him his Miranda rights. So could we just borrow one of your rooms and manacle him to the wall for a couple of days? And essentially the same kind of thing, I think, has been happening in a lot of other areas of American life, and rather disturbingly. And so I don't think there's any good answer to what was why we're opening new bio labs in Ukraine.
What can you tell us, Mark, about the Russians that are in Ukraine? We get reports all the time that the Russians are angry at their own government, their troops are being sent there, that this war that was started by Vladimir Putin invading the country has gone horribly wrong, And right now it's so bogged down, which is why they're in peace talks, because there's no chance that the Russians are really going to be able to pull this off. But you are there. What can you tell us, if you can, of what is being reported from inside the country about the Russians that are on the ground there?
Well, everyone's got different stories of Russians they met. And again, I find this very interesting, because I think it was impressive to me just how many people wanted to be part of the war effort. So you have all kinds of situations where the first thing that happened was that all the locals went out and they took down all the town, the highway signs saying what town you were headed towards. So the Russians all got detoured onto dirt roads and their tanks got stuck. And everybody's got some kind of a story like that. Or they've got things where, you know, they all went out and greeted the incoming Russian troops with sandwiches, and the guys thought, oh, yes, it's just like President Putin said, we're being greeted as liberators. They've made us all these nice sandwiches, and then they eat the sandwiches, and they get terrible food poisoning. They've all got story. I mean, I'm a believer in nuance, and I think, actually, the relationship of Ukraine to Russia is like another, you know, small country next to a great power, Ireland next to England, is that it's nuanced. It's not a black and white situation. It's nuanced. But one thing that is absolutely clear is that these people really, really, really do not want to be back in Russia. And they're prepared to do everything it takes, whether it's picking up a rifle or whether it's taking down the highway signs to see that they don't get put back in Russia.
Now, what do you think is going to happen here, Mark? You're there. You say you may go back.
Mm.
Are you serious about that?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I think, you know, the fact of the matter is, you've got a lunatic in Washington who's just like on tour in Europe and casually saying, "Oh yeah, we're going to use chemical weapons." And by the way, you Americans in the room, you're soon going to be in Ukraine, and I'm fully committed to taking Putin out and having regime change in the Kremlin. And then we have, and this only happens in America, where then news announcers explain that he misspoke and that administration officials are walking it back. Well, most of us don't get that. If I say to you, oh, I really enjoy having sex with goats, you don't announce after the break, unfortunately, Mr. Stein misspoke. Then he fully respects the bodily autonomy of goats, so that wasn't what he just, you know, none of us get to walk things back. In fact, this is the age of not walking things back. You know, I tweeted out a joke in 2007, and it's not right for 2022, so you're cancelled. Goodbye, so long. But uniquely, Joe Biden can threaten chemical warfare, regime change, and boots on the ground in Ukraine, and oh, he just misspoke. Where's the misspeaking for the rest of us on Twitter and all of that?
Wow. Any predictions as to how this is all going to end up? Do you think that this is going to end up with Russia in control of Ukraine militarily?
No, I don't think they've got anywhere near enough troops to secure Ukraine. You know, so he's going to have to settle for something. And the question is, what is he going to settle for? Is it just he has to settle for something that he can present as a kind of victory? I thought at first that he'd get as far as the Dniester River, which is the big river that splits Ukraine in two and used to be, the border between, let me see if I can get this right, Romania, Poland, and Czechoslovakia, and then the Russian Empire, the Dniester River. But he's not going to get anywhere near that far, and he hasn't got enough troops available to hold it down. So he's going to get out And if you were interested in not having World War III, and the Democrats are so crazy, you start to believe, well, you know, okay, so they'd welcome World War III just so it means we're not talking about Hunter's laptop. It would distract us from, if there were, you know, if there was a smoking crater where Berlin used to be, we wouldn't be talking about Hunter's laptop. And you almost believe they'd be crazy enough to pull some stunt like that. But I think if you were seriously interested, you'd be trying to provide Putin with an off ramp. The sanctions aren't working. The ruble's gone. Biden's been boasting about tanking the ruble. The ruble's gone back up. He's surviving the sanctions. There's a question whether, you know, the Western world can survive the sanctions with the way oil and gas.
Right. There's a story today that Russia has built a parallel economy, and that's why the sanctions aren't working. That story is in the Wall Street Journal. Russia built parallel payment system that escaped Western sanctions. And so when Visa and MasterCard and the others left, they didn't care. They had their own systems in place.
Yeah, I think one of the real consequence of this, the real danger of this, is that if it goes on, it will end the status of the dollar as the world's reserve currency, since Bretton Woods in dear old Mount Washington Hotel in New Hampshire, and instead some new Russo Chinese, Saudi, all kinds of interested parts. Well, the Indians even. India is the biggest strategic opponent of China on the planet, and yet they're happy to do deals with Russia that bypass the dollar. And once the dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency, then actually, you know, the question then becomes, what's holding... If you think gas prices are high now, wait till until Putin and Chairman Xi get together and tank the dollar, because that's going to be a whole other level of hurt.
Mark, so glad you arrived back, Slavey. We were all praying for you, because I was just, frankly, a little bit worried, and I know many of us were. So what a brave lad to go over there. Thank you. We're so glad you're back. And thank you.
I'm glad to be back, James. I would have done the show live from there, but it's a 7-hour time difference. So at 11 o'clock at night, I'm face down in their excellent local brews, and I would have made no sense on the show.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week.
Thank you, James.
WABC. That is our one and only Mark Stein, America's undocumented anchorman. I got to tell you, it's what courage to go over into a war zone, whether he says he's not a journalist. Yeah, he is. WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden, a.k.a. Snurdly. Yes, we're coming back with you right after this.